Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our first online Bible study on personal evangelism. Now, it seems appropriate for us to begin this online process with a study on social media and personal evangelism. But before we start, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to gather with fellow saints, people who love you. And even though we're doing this remotely, we pray that the study that we do will help us to become more effective personal workers in your kingdom. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for this opportunity. In your son's name we pray, amen. In 2005, my wife and I gave our daughter her first smartphone. Knowing that texting was a thing, I made the prudent decision to buy $5 worth of texting for her phone. If you don't know what that means, it's this. $5 bought about 40 texts. The very next bill had an additional $40 charge just for texting, above the $5. Instead of 40 texts, she had done 400 of them. So I immediately upgraded to the $20 unlimited texting plan, and it was a good decision considering there were times she had over 6,000 texts in a month. Yes, it was a wise decision. About that same time, my son went off to college and soon was too busy to call his mama. Until I told him I bought his phone and would take it back if he didn't. I even coached him on how. Call her while walking to class, and then you only had a few moments where you had to, before you had to go into the classroom. It kept the call short, but mama was happy. He was happy. Everybody was happy. Because everybody knows, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Now compare that to when I was at college in 1980, we called home once a week from the payphone down at the end of the hall. Now my son video calls us on Duo so we can see him and our grandchildren over the phone. Now when both our kids were in Tampa for college, my wife and I had to discuss whether we would text them or insist on phone calls. You have to call us. Well, we quickly agreed we could text our kids and communicate with them daily or insist they call and talk to them maybe two or three times a week. We texted. That's what we did. Now what that means is life has changed rapidly and the church can adapt to social media or lose out on great opportunities to communicate. If communicating with our children is so very important, isn't communicating the gospel far more important? Social media is simply the fastest tool of communication in human history, by far. It has changed the way people interact so much. There's tweeting, blogging, texting, live chatting, posting on Facebook and other social networks, sharing our opinions and views with the world. We can share our minds instantly, immediately. Folks, that train has left the station, and we can either jump on or be left behind. So we don't want to be like that old grump saying, well, if you want to talk to me, you can come see me in person or call me on the phone. Well, sooner or later, that person is all alone. So what we want to do today is just in our study is to remember our mission statement. Remember the mission statement. That is to become more effective and motivated personal workers. That's our goal. That's what we want to become. And our theme verses, Acts 8 verse 4, those who were scattered went about preaching the word, Acts 8 4. And then in 1 Peter 3:16, sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. See, evangelism is about connecting to contacts, connecting to people, and giving an account to them for the hope that is in us. Social media gives us the opportunity to do that with many more people in one day than we could see in person in a month or even a year. Think about that. See, we need to see social media as an opportunity to strengthen old ties to old friends and make new friends and new connections online. The world lies at your fingertips. It's at our fingertips. We can reach out to a large number of users if, and this is a big if we're willing to embrace it. I want you to look at the numbers on the screen behind me, the television monitor behind me. Look at that, all of those different social media sites. Someone add those up and post the number in the comments section. Now, obviously, there's some overlap because the total is well above the estimated 7.8 billion people populating planet Earth. But regardless, there is a phenomenal opportunity for those of us willing to use these venues to share the gospel message. You know, in January 2014, I was serving as an elder for the Palm Springs Drive Church of Christ in Altamont Springs, Florida. That's north of Orlando. And I began a daily Bible study post on Facebook based on our theme at the church for that year, getting to know the real Jesus. It soon turned into a progressive study through the Bible. Since that first post in January 2014, I've written over 2,000 daily posts, and I'm currently in Acts chapter 16, working my way toward Revelation. Notice the screenshot on the monitor behind me. That's of today's post on my personal page, James McClunney. I don't know how many people read it daily. Your personal pages don't give you the opportunity to see how many people actually read it. But I do know that I've met a number of people who never comment on my page, never hit like or tell me anything about it. But then when I run into them at some event, like at a church building or at a lectureship or something like that, they would tell me in person they read my post every day. I've had some very liberal unbelievers who never say a word online until I write something that makes them blow up at me. And they will. And that tells me people are reading it. And last year, when we moved to Bowling Green, I decided to go full-time online preaching with a Facebook page called An American Missionary and a YouTube channel of that same name. And here's a screenshot of the Facebook page. My plan was to upload daily 3-minute studies called Morning Minutes in the Bible. You can see that on the monitor behind me. Built on those posts that I began all the way back in 2014. So that began last August, and I have over 200 videos posted. And I should be finished working my way through the Bible in another 15 to 20 years. So if you start now or you go back to the beginning and catch up, in about 15 or 20 years, we'll finish the study of the Bible in 3 minutes at a time. I also intended to do five 30-minute Bible studies a week as well. But reality stopped that. Helping Karen care for a 2-year-old and an 83-year-old with dementia required too much of my time during the day. The point of Facebook is the number of users. The point of YouTube is the number of people that are able to reach it because it's an open forum that's available to the general public. You don't have to subscribe to YouTube to watch my videos on that. An American Missionary is also considered a business rather than a personal page, so there are stats so I can see how many people watch it and how long. And I'm having to be patient with those numbers as they slowly increase. More people watch on Facebook than do on YouTube. Hopefully, though, this will get more publicity and more people will start seeing it and start watching these videos. Now, of course, this does not remove the responsibility of worshiping together in a collective assembly or meeting people in person and holding in-person Bible studies. Hopefully, this necessary isolation that we're forced into today will end soon, and we can return to our regular assemblies in person. But if we learn nothing else from this current situation, let it be the value of online connections and Bible study. Well, let's begin with the definition of social media. What is social media? Well, it's participatory online media where news, photos, videos, and podcasts are made public and anyone can create or comment. It's typically accompanied with a voting process, the like button, the thumbs up or thumbs down, etc., to signal items considered popular. Now, you can pause this video here if you want to keep that definition or write the definition down, or you can come back to it. I want you to notice here again, this is on that page, from my personal page. Notice at the bottom, the thumbs up for like, the comment section, and the share. So you can comment on it, you can share it, you can type in there you like, or you can say you don't like it. Those are all part of those options that are available. Now let's talk a little bit about what social media has become. For some people, it has become the sole source of information. For a lot of people, it has. Friends on social media are increasingly becoming people's trusted sources of information, even more than search engines like Google or some of the other service providers. By getting our news from social media, we know who is recommending it and can easily communicate with that person about it. So news is more social than ever. Now, what I want to do right now is I want to give you time to pause. This would be a good time to pause the video and comment on how that being sources of information can help with personal evangelism. I'm just going to count to five and then we'll go to the next point. So you can pause it right here. Well, the next point that we want to look at is what are some rules we should apply to our communication? And we talked about this in a previous class at the building. Remember the ABCs. Approach everyone as an individual. And be courteous. Always be courteous. You don't get into name calling or put downs. It just doesn't help anything. And it would undermine anything you're trying to accomplish in a matter of seconds. The next point that we're going to look at is also quite interesting. It's authenticity. It's a place for authenticity, to be real. You know, where you don't pretend you're in complete control. And initially, there was a big discussion about Facebook and social media being a place where you can pretend to be things you're not. And some people still do that, but it's also an opportunity to show who you really are. So you don't want to try to appear perfect, but you want to be more transparent with your thoughts and feelings to reveal your humanity, your humanness. Of course, you have to control yourself and your page. Remember the C of the ABCs. And don't explode on people or vomit up all your problems. Once it's online, it's there forever. So don't come across as holier than thou, as a know-it-all, and don't overdo it either. Use good judgment. And know that all of us will make mistakes, so own up to them and use them as learning experiences. Again, this is an opportunity where we can pause for comments, and hopefully you'll be commenting on the page there on the YouTube channel page into the comment section and post those. I'll have to find out for sure whether or not you can, or hopefully you can. If you can't, you can text me at my phone number. I'll send that out to everyone in an email. The third thing that we want to notice here is the power to influence. Social media has become a powerful social influence. Even if we have few followers on Twitter or friends on Facebook or YouTube, followers on YouTube, subscribers on YouTube, I guess is the correct word, the average person's influence increases significantly as communication channels become more open and fluid. As the networks for sharing and amplifying information strengthen, so does the ability of each person, each one of us, to influence other people. It lets us become participants who have a voice in our community and the world. So think about those three things. And if you want, we'll pause here you can pause the video here and make some comments on it. I'll be watching this video at 7 o'clock tonight, just like everyone else, I'll start watching it and we can check the comment section as we go through the video. Well, the next thing I want to go through is steps to social media success. I want to give you five simple steps to successful personal evangelism on social media. The first one is be willing to use social media as an evangelism tool rather than just a personal page. In other words, it's got to be about trying to evangelize. You need to be willing to make it about evangelizing instead of just about yourself. And if you're not on Facebook, think about joining. Join Facebook. Start. You don't have to put all your information on there. You can leave things out if you're worried about people stealing your identity. I have very limited personal information on my Facebook page. But think about it and then start using it to write about Bible topics, to read about and comment and link to other pages. Now, if you want to use it for personal things, you can do that. I do. I posted some pictures of the trees that are blossoming and blooming in the area, in the neighborhood. It's just beautiful. So you can post pictures of trees or horses or your kids or anything else you want. Keep it clean, of course, and then write about Bible subjects too. Link to the church's Facebook page, link to its website and its YouTube channel from time to time to direct people to an article or sermon you particularly appreciated. I want to give you the time now to pause the video and make some comments about how you think you might could use social media to as an evangelism tool. So we can talk about that. Hopefully we'll do that. Again, this is an experiment. This may be, you may not be able to comment at all, or you may not want to comment, but we're just trying to experiment here. So I'm going to count to five, and then we'll go to the next point. Number two, find interested people. And I mean interested people. Look up people you know and friend them on Facebook, or send them the link to your YouTube channel if you have one, or send them a link to another YouTube channel. But to be on Facebook, you've got to sign up and do that. Friend them. And I mean interested people, not just like-minded people like your church family. You don't want to be preaching to the choir. This is about evangelism, trying to reach outside the circle of those you go to church with. So reach out to your family, your friends, your coworkers, etc., and just people that you might think you know on Facebook. Remember, it's about evangelism. And peer recommendation is the strongest type of marketing today, or personal evangelism today. So if you find people who are interested in you and what you have to say, they will bring more as they share it with their friends. And don't be afraid to ask them to share your page with their friends when you post something spiritual. I'm going to pause for comments again. Number three, deliver quality content. Content is king. Good quality content on social media is essential. A lot of my preacher friends are suddenly thrust, or have been suddenly thrust, into the online environment and have no sense of what people are watching, what they're seeing. What they're doing is they're seeing up people, they're seeing up the preacher's nose, or the preacher looks like he's looking down at them over his glasses. There's too much going on in the background. The lighting is bad, etc. Or they just kind of ramble and don't realize that without an audience to focus on, they don't think of the camera as representing the people that they're talking to. That's who you're talking to. That's who you're speaking to if you're recording a video. Also, content has to be fresh and delivered regularly, but not too much at once. One Facebook friend used to, I haven't seen him do this in a while, but he used to drop 15 to 20 posts at once early in the morning. People don't like to be drowned. Oh, and one other thing, keep it brief. I limit my written post to 300 words. And some people complain that's too long because they're used to text limitations of 100, 120 words. So the idea of 300 is, oh, that's way too many words. So keep it brief. You're trying to get people to read it. And if it's much longer than 300 words, people won't read the whole thing. I'm going to pause again so you can comment. Next is insist on accuracy. Insist on accuracy. Paying attention to every single detail is essential. Make sure each passage is accurately cited, give the right book, chapter, and verse, and correctly applied. With all this going on and people having to meet independently at home and worship distributively instead of collectively at the building, people quoting Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with you. That passage is not about validating church worship assembly because two or more have come together. That's about church discipline. Read the text. Now, it might make a good point. Some people say, well, it still makes the point. Well, it might. I don't think it really does. But even if it did, we still must use passages accurately. If we use passages inaccurately, out of context, we harm our credibility. Now, one other thing, being accurate does not mean try to correct everyone else, just yourself. Again, we're going to pause so you can pause the video and make some comments. All right, the next one we're going to go to, number five, is stay in touch with current events. Keep it current. Keep it fresh, unless you don't want anyone reading it. Now, this may make some of you uncomfortable, but that means don't start with Scripture. I told you that was going to make some of you uncomfortable, but don't start with Scripture. Start with an attention getter, a quote or a song reference, a current event, etc., because unbelievers are going to pass right over a post that starts with a Bible quote. They just are. They see a Bible passage and they don't believe in the Bible, they're not going to read it. So throwing passages at people and trying to think that they're going to read it is not using your mind, not being smart, not giving them a reason, because they're not going to be asking if you throw a scripture at them. Now, in fact, even Christians will skip over a post that starts with a scripture unless they spot the text that has some special meaning to them. I know I do it. Oh, I've seen that passage and, okay, I'm not interested in seeing what you have to say about it. That's how I react sometimes. And I guarantee you, unbelievers react even more strongly. Remember this. You're trying to reach people, not prove your piety. A lot of people say, you need to start with Scripture. All that's going to do is you're going to be preaching to the choir and trying to prove your piety. You're trying to reach unbelievers. Of course, you're going to tie in Scripture. You're going to pull the Bible in to prove your point, to support whatever it is you're trying to say, because it's got to be biblical. That's your accuracy. But always keep in mind, you're trying to seek the lost. You're seeking the lost, not trying to impress your brethren with how many Bible passages you can quote. At least I hope that's the case. Well, I hope this has been helpful. I know it's been a learning experience for me trying to put this together as a, hopefully, participatory study. I hope you've enjoyed it. Oh, and don't forget, watch and share An American Missionary. Share it with your friends. Watch it and share it with your friends. Until next time, keep the faith, stay safe, and explore your options for personal evangelism on social media. Thank you.